You can turn to Luke chapter 8. Last week we went through Matthew. We saw the naming of the apostles. And we noticed that there's several different listings. And there's some discrepancies because some of the guys went by aliases. They had a couple of names. And so you just have to negotiate through that a little bit. Well, we saw that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, and he had multitudes of disciples at times, and the 12, which he chose to be apostles, and he taught them with love and heart beyond what they had ever experienced before, because the Sadducees and the Pharisees didn't teach like that, right? People would be amazed at how he taught and the authority with which he taught, because he truly believed it, whereas they didn't. So when teaching publicly, you get crowds, and certainly got lots of people that came there to see him, not because of any other reason than it was an event, right? You know, people would go and hear him and say, well, I was there and I saw that, but they didn't really, they weren't disciples, they weren't going to believe, but they, you know, just wanted to be part of the whole thing happening. But many times he taught in parables, which later he explained to his disciples who had a hunger to understand, and they would ask him. He gave as much as they could handle and retain. And sometimes later after the resurrection, even later after Pentecost, they would reflect back on what they had been taught and realize what Jesus had really meant. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 8. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So here Jesus Christ goes on a teaching itinerary. It says he's visiting every city and village. And he was preaching the kingdom of God. And of course, the 12 apostles that he had chosen were with him. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. So when it says they ministered to him, that word should be them, referring to he and his 12 apostles. It's in the plural, it's them. And he started this journey with his 12 and these certain women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and others. Verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So all these people came out of every city. I don't know how many cities there were, but he was traveling around and publicly he was speaking to them, and he taught by a parable. A parable is an extended comparison in story form, usually with one main point of comparison. In Luke, in this particular case, the meaning is provided in the context. There are occasions where the meaning is not given. And there's other places where it's, you know, reflects back and explains it. So it says here, a sower went out to sow his seed. And he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. You know what a sower is, right? It's somebody that's planting, right? Planting crops. And here the sower, or the farmer, is planting his seed. And it says here that he threw, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls ate it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, if you just heard this and that was it, you probably wouldn't know what he's talking about, right? But verse 9, it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be?" So these guys were smart enough to ask for an explanation. That's a good point, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't understand, ask. And these disciples asked, which would include the 12, I'm sure. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." And that's a quote from Isaiah. You see it numerous times in the Bible. People see, but they don't really see, and hear, they hear, but they don't really understand what they're hearing. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So right off the bat, he tells them what the seed is. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." So what's he saying? Saying, you know, these people receive the word, and they hang around for a little while, and then they get tempted by other things, distracted, and they're gone. Right? Verse 14, "And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." In other words, they don't grow up into a plant and produce fruit, right? Meaning they don't really live a godly life and produce spiritual fruit in their life. "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So that's the good ground. "No man when he hath lighted," okay, so that's the end of that parable. It's the parable of the sower and the seed, and that's the end of it in verse 15. And then he begins second parable. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from it, him it shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." So that's the second parable. So he's teaching in these towns and villages, and he's teaching these parables. And, you know, many of the people don't even understand what he's talking about, but they're just happy to be part of the crowd and say, "Oh, I saw Jesus," or I was there when that happened. You know, it's funny when when something happens that's historical or memorable, and I'll give you a stupid example. When the Beatles played in New York at Shea Stadium, well, the stadium holds 60,000 people. There'll be 200,000 people who claim that they were there. You know, that's just the way people are. So, anyway. "Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press, for the crowd. They couldn't get close to him. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. He put a big emphasis on doing the word of God. Let's go to chapter 4 of Mark. Because it says something here. Chapter 4 of Mark, verse 33. Again, talking about him when he was teaching in parables. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So he spoke many such parables. He spoke to the multitudes, but alone with his disciples, he explained them, he expounded them. He taught them what they really meant. Let's go to Matthew 13. So remember what we're looking at here, and we started looking at way back in the Old Testament, was we were looking at how prophets and men of God would train up other men to also be men of God or to be prophets. And here, this is exactly what Jesus Christ is doing. He is training up men to carry forth the word of God. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Okay, it's another parable. And it's, again, you know, it was an agricultural society for the most part. I mean, there were tradesmen and people, you know, carpenters and people that made things, but mostly people lived off the land, right? They were mostly farmers and things like that. So many of his parables would relate to people because it was easy to relate to because that was their culture. That was the way they lived. So the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Remember, a parable is something that is a comparison. So it's like, kingdom of heaven is like a man. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Tares are weeds. That's not good to have in your field, right? But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, he root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. That's another parable. He doesn't explain it. Then he goes on to another one. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You notice that these all pertain to the kingdom of God. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. It's kind of interesting, you know, it wasn't plain and simple, because they didn't really have an interest in learning from them. But it says in verse 35 that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So again, you know, they come to him and they want him to explain it to them. So, verse 37, he begins the explanation. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, if this was a modern day thing, I'm sure they would be 35 different interpretations of what he taught about and things like that. And I'm sure people went out and said, Oh, we heard this great teaching, and they make up a meaning or an explanation, and they didn't know what they were talking about, because that's human nature. But his disciples wanted to know, and he took them aside alone, and he explained it to them. And then it says in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now these parables are pretty easy to understand. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down and gathered the good unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. So he was a good teacher, right? He taught. Then they asked him for the explanation, and he went back and he went over the whole parable again. He gave the explanation, then he gave a couple of more simpler parables, very straightforward comparisons. And then he says, Do you understand? So the good teacher does, right? You understand. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. He left. But he's teaching them about the kingdom of God to help them understand. Let's go to Mark 3. So they're getting quite a bit of teaching along on the while they're with him on the road. And you know, He's going from village into city, and they're with him all the time. So he speaks, and we get those big crowds, and then the big crowds lead, and he teaches them. And then they're with him all night. So if they want to ask questions or they don't understand something, he's there for them. He chose them to be with him and also to go forth and preach and minister. In verse 13 here it says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." So what did he do? He had these guys and he ordained the four. Now he had many, many disciples, right? It wasn't just the 12, there were many disciples. But the 12 he chose out would have to be because God told him, because he always did God's will. And then those 12 he chose and he named apostles, which we looked at last week. An apostle is one that is sent to deliver a message. He would have to be reliable and faithful. He would have to be obedient. He would have to be someone that the master or the teacher could rely on. So, first time Jesus went out to villages teaching, and a few disciples were with him. Remember, we looked back at that maybe a week or two ago, and he had a couple of guys at first, three, I think, or four. And then there was an unnamed one, and he went around teaching. And on his second journey, he had the 12 with him and certain women. Now we consider a third itinerary. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we jump around because, and I probably screwed it up a little bit, but the Gospels are not all chronological. So, but chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So here he tells his disciples to pray for laborers for the harvest. Obviously, the more laborers you have, the more you can harvest, and the more they can divide up the work, right? Verse 1 of chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So he gave them power on these things, authority and power. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Gregor was making fun last night because he was talking about there's two Judases. Here it's, I think it's Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. He's also called Judas, right? And he wanted to make sure that he wasn't confused with Judas Iscariot. So Greg said he had a name tag that said Judas, not Iscariot. But that was pretty funny. Thanks, Greg, for the material. Anyway, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, so he sent them forth and he commanded them. go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, why is that? Because Jesus Christ was sent to who? Israel. Now, he did actually witness to the woman in Samaria at the well, you know, and she believed, but he told them to go not to the Gentiles and not to the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he just explain to them? All those parables, and they were all about what? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. You know, they were very well prepared to spread the gospel news about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So he said, go and preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Remember, we saw that last week. We read that. And, you know, people will use this verse as a, for money. And it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with, he gave them authority and power to heal and to cleanse. And they received it because they followed him and believed him. They didn't have to earn it or pay for it. So they got it freely and they were to give it out. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor a scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And so they went forth. And whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire in who is worthy, and there abide ye till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so on and so forth. He says, I send you forth. let's go to Luke chapter 9. Now, Luke chapter 9 is a pretty long chapter, but pretty important. Again, it shows us how Jesus Christ worked with these guys. This is a parallel to that chapter in Matthew. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they obeyed. They did what he told them to do, didn't they? He had prepared them. He had taught them. He had demonstrated to them. You know, they would see him do things like that. It was amazing what he did. And they saw it. Now we're going to skip down to verse 10. That's in there is about Herod. We don't care about that. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. See, he liked to get away with them so he could, you know, see what they were doing, see how they were doing, help them, teach them. But it says in verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. So that was very loving of him. wanted to take a break with his apostles, but the people had needs, and so he took care of them. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto the disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So, see, 50 into 5,000 is what? 1,000? Yeah. 500? Something like that. Anyway, he gets them to sit down in groups of 50. Now, there's 500 men. That means that's not counting women and children. So there could be more. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in 50s in a company. And they did so, and he made them all sit down. Then took he the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and was taken up of fragments that remained of them, 12 baskets. So, that's a pretty good return. No trouble. 100? 100 groups of 50? Okay. My math is not that great. That's a lot of people to feed. And they did eat and were filled. And they got 12 baskets left over. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, some say Elias, which is Elijah, and some others say, the one of the old prophets is risen again. That one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered, said, the Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. So he's telling them what's going to happen to him now. And later on, we kind of see that they don't really remember and get kind of confused about it. Anyway, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So here again, what is he doing? He's teaching them and he's instructing them about the commitment that they're going to need to have to follow him. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. So he's speaking to his disciples and the apostles. So he said they would see the kingdom of God come. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Now, he had multitude of disciples. And out of the multitude of disciples, he took 12 apostles, right? And out of the 12 apostles, he takes these three, Peter and James and John. So again, we have to believe he did that by revelation, because he always did the will of God. He always did those things that pleased the God, pleased God, and God showed him that these three were to come with him. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which should be which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So now this is a vision. It's, Moses is not in heaven, Elijah's not in heaven, but it's a vision. It's what we would call a phenomena, right? God is showing him like a picture show. And they're talking about that he's going to go to Jerusalem and die. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Was pretty shook up, I guess. Kind of amazing. He takes them up on that mountain and they go to sleep on him. Like, he must have had an incredible amount of energy, and they had a hard time keeping up with him. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. Throughout the Bible, going back at least to Exodus, many times a cloud represents God coming in the presence of man. Now you can't see God, you just see the cloud and you hear the voice. And that's what happened here. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Of course, later on, Peter talks about it in his epistle. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were much come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, it teareth him, he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Well, it certainly wasn't Peter, James, and John that they were referring to, right? It had to be some of the other disciples. They couldn't do it. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you or endure you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the hands of men. But they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. So now, Peter, James, and John got to do several things. They were with him when he healed Jairus's daughter, raised her from the dead. And then they were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. So they were really prepared, getting prepared and getting taught and seeing things beyond what the other disciples saw. Now, verse 46. Then there arose reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest? Isn't that something? Yeah, human nature. Which one of us is your aide-de-camp? Which one of you, which one of us is your right-hand man? And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and sat by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever receives me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. I think this is before he washes their feet. But, you know, that's another place where he teaches them about, you know, the greatest of you will be the servant of all, right? And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them. And then the rest of that verse is not in the text. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in a way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds have the air of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, remember when he called James and John, they were mending the nets for their father. He said, Come with me. They dropped the nets and left. They didn't even question it. They didn't say, Oh, let us go back and say goodbye to dad. They just left. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, You know, that's the past. This is the future. No need to go home. So, although Jesus Christ had a multitude of disciples, he chose 12, and he named them apostles. Of these 12 who were with him much of the time, he took three on certain occasions, the healing of Jairus' daughter, the Mount of Transfiguration, and other times. Many times he would be alone with the 12 and teach them. Now, I'm going to stop there, because what I got prepared, the rest, is I wanted to look of Jesus Christ after his resurrection, because he continued to teach them after he was crucified and resurrected. So that's where we're going to stop tonight.